Father, I just thank you for your presence tonight. I thank you for your love, that love that hung on that tree and poured its blood out for all of us. I thank you, Father God, that this special time is set apart just to honor your Son. And I thank you, Father God, that you always set time aside to honor your people. I thank you that your angelic host is walking to and fro throughout these chairs right now, meeting each and every need. And Father God, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'm going to teach on how to totally forgive, and at the end we're going to have communion. And I really want you to listen to what we're being taught here tonight, so that at the end that you can do the communion properly. You know, when Jesus hung on that tree for all of us, I don't think we really understand the full implication of what he really did that day. I don't think you fully understand the pain that his mother, first of all, his father in heaven, and his mother and his brothers went through as they watched what he had to go through. I don't think we fully understand all that. But one day we will. And you know, some of the people sitting in the house of God are upset because they can't be with their children this year, this Christmas. But what about those who will never see their children again? How about the man who had a car accident and killed his 3-year-old son? He has to live with that the rest of his life. I think he was 3, 5, whatever. But he has to live with that for the rest of his life. He'll live that over and over and over again. But you at least can pick up a phone maybe and talk to your children. Maybe you can be encouraged that one day, you know, you can visit with them. And we need to be thankful, grateful for what we do have. And we need to quit complaining to God about what we think that we should have, we don't have. Just thank God they're alive. And they're well and they're kicking. No matter what their situation is, they're alive, well and kicking. And as long as they're alive and breathing, God's always able to reach down and touch them. I just feel in my spirit that there's so many in the house of God that are fussing with God because they don't have their children next to them because of divorce or whatever. But you know, you need to quit that. You just need to thank God they are there. Sometimes it's better off you don't have them there because of all the trouble they cause you. But, you know, let's just be happy and content with whatever state that God has us in. And if you can't rejoice in him because you don't have a child, I don't know why I'm saying this, but if you can't rejoice because you don't have a child with you, then you don't really love your father either. Come on. I haven't seen my grandkids for 4 or 5 years now. I haven't talked or seen to them, and I raised them. I know one day they're going to walk through the door, though. I know one day that that'll be a wonderful day. I can't call them on the phone because their stepmother won't allow me to talk to them. But still in all, I know they're alive. Are you understanding this? Come on. I know some women who were on drugs and their kids were taken away from them, and the father has, and the father's been hateful and ignorant, won't even let them talk to their kids. That must be hard for a mother or a father. So let's just be happy where we're at. God told us to be joyful and rejoice in whatever state that we're in. All right, how to totally forgive. I want you to really listen to what you're reading on the screen. I don't believe any one of us will ever completely understand what it costs God to forgive us until we reach eternity. I don't believe any one of us will ever completely understand what it costs God to forgive us until we reach eternity. Dr. R.T. Kendall said, "The most important thing that happened to me in my 25-year pastorate in London was when my Romanian friend, Dr. Joseph's son, looked at me during my greatest trial and said, 'RT, you must totally forgive them. Until you totally forgive them, you will be in chains.'" I want you to listen to this. "Release them and you will be released. But Joseph, I can't," I protested. "You can and you must," he said, lovingly and firmly. "It was the hardest thing I had ever had to do. I therefore do not say to you that it will be easy. I will go further. It is like climbing Mount Everest, and few people do it." What did Joseph, his friend Joseph, tell him? You must totally forgive them. Until you totally forgive them, you will be in chains. Release them, and you will be released. And I know some of you sitting here today, you're like Joseph saying, I can't. But R.T. Kendall said, you can and you must. Doesn't matter what anybody has done to you. What is total forgiveness? Total forgiveness means utterly setting them free. Total forgiveness means utterly setting them free. Letting them off the hook. No longer praying for them to get what they deserve, but to receive the mercy they don't deserve. And when you can do that and mean it, you're there. Let's read that again. Total forgiveness means utterly setting them free, letting them off the hook, no longer praying for them to get what they deserve, but to receive the mercy they don't deserve. When you can do that and mean it, you are there. I'm teaching on this because, you know, I've had a lot of sickness in my body, and God has said to me through Katie Souza, I was reading some of her blogs, that there's unforgiveness in me that I have not yet resolved, and I thought I had. And this is why this teaching is coming forth today, because I know there's just many sitting in the body of Christ who think they have forgiven people, and they haven't. Not totally. What did he call it? Total forgiveness. Total forgiveness also includes forgiving God for letting something happen. God hasn't done anything wrong, but if you feel any bitterness toward him regarding what has happened to you, you really need to forgive God. I know what's wrong with me. It's my fault, not God. So I don't have that problem, but I hear a lot of people say that they're mad at God. And really, truly, if you'll just take a real good, strong look at your life, God had nothing to do with the problem that you're in. You made your own problem. And you don't want to confess that you did that, so you had to blame it on somebody. So the nearest person who can't fight back with you is God. So you blame God. And while you're at it, forgive yourself also. Most of us don't realize that God wants us to forgive ourselves as well as accept his forgiveness. Self-pity and self-righteousness are the real reasons we won't forgive ourselves. Self-pity and self-righteousness are the real reasons we won't forgive ourselves. So go ahead and forgive yourself. And enjoy the peace from doing what God wants you to do. So go ahead, forgive yourself. Enjoy peace with God. Let's take a look at the way Joseph forgave his brothers in Genesis 45, 1 through 15. It says, then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. In other words, Joseph had come to a place where he had to love on his brothers. And he wanted to cry, but he didn't want anybody to see what was going to transpire. Verse 2 said, and Joseph wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near, and then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Now see what he says there? But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a prosperity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. See, Joseph understood why his brothers did what they did to him. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. hurry and go up to my father. See, he says, you're not the ones that did this. God did this. If we could grasp that tonight, that you, that somebody else is not the problem. God caused them to do to you what they did because God had a better plan for you. All right? You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. So, you know, God went before, God made Joseph go through all the things he went through and used his brothers to start the ball rolling. And now look how his brothers are being blessed in the end. And verse 11 says, there I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. He said, you did this to me. You sold me into slavery. I had to go to prison and all that, but now I'm going to provide for you. You see this? And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them, and after that his brothers talked with him. Did you listen to what you just read? If you really stop and look at Joseph's life, his brothers were the vessels God worked through to get Joseph positioned where he could bless them. Now look, there's people God had, but you figure that they've really been ignorant to you, but really God was using them to cause you to become strong in him. And he was using that person or those people to bring you to that place where he could use you the way he needs to use you. So why are you cursing that person that you believe has caused you a lot of damage? You really need to think about this. There are objective tests you can give yourself to make sure you have totally forgiven. You do not tell anybody what that person did to you. Well, we failed that one right there. Why do we tell what they did? Isn't it to hurt them, punish them, or destroy their credibility and reputation to lower their esteem in someone else's eyes? Right? We tell others what someone has done to us, so those who hurt us will look shameful. We are afraid they are not going to get what is coming to them. Come on. So we help God out and punish the people who have hurt us by telling people what they did. Joseph, on the other hand, ensured that nobody would know, neither in Egypt nor in Canaan, what his brothers had done to him 22 years before. Joseph was just not going to tell anybody what happened. Oh, all of us should have a shame face right now. We must stop talking about the person who hurt us and tell no one else about it. Romans 12:17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, what depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In my first marriage, you and God said, I had to go and ask him to forgive me. And I said, but I didn't do nothing. He said, you talked about him. Amen. Come on. So I had to go and ask his forgiveness. Sometimes you need to talk to someone you can trust about the hurt someone has heaped upon you, especially when you find it difficult to let the matter go. Sometimes we just need to talk it out. But you talk it out with somebody you know that's not going to blab it all over town. All right? You don't want them to be afraid of you. Joseph, knowing his brothers were terrified of him, said, come close to me. He wanted to love on them. He did not want them scared in his presence. When we want to intimidate our offenders, it is usually a sign that we have not totally forgiven them. God does not want us to be afraid of him. He sent the Holy Spirit in our hearts to cry, Abba, Father. So therefore, we don't want people who have offended us to be afraid that we're going to tell on them or do something bad to them. All right? Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You don't even want them to feel guilty. This is a hard one. You don't even want them to feel guilty. Joseph told his brothers not to be angry with themselves. How amazing, since a natural impulse is to want to put the offender on a guilt trip. Come on. Fortunately, God does not do that with us, and we must not do that with others. But we are not required to forgive them unless they are sorry. Really? You know, that's what people say. But we are not required to forgive them unless they are sorry. Really? How much repentance and sorrow for wrongdoing do you think there was at the cross? But Jesus prayed that those who killed him would be forgiven. He knew that they did not know what they had done. And Luke 23:34 says, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do, and they divide his garments and cast lots. Jesus is supposed to be our model. Don't wait for the one who offended you to repent first, or you will have an excuse forever not to forgive. Come on. Because unforgiveness will keep you in that same old awful bondage. Let's stop there. You know, a lot of people are waiting for somebody else. They think that, well, you did it to me, so you have to ask me for forgiveness first. And you're waiting, and that's not going to work. Because I'm going to tell you right now, that person's not going to ask you for forgiveness anyhow, unless they really get a good dose of God. So you just might as well go ahead and forgive, totally forgive, forget, and move on. That's the only thing you can do. Amen? You know, we are missing our blessing because we're holding on to this unforgiveness. And we're missing our blessing because we are expecting somebody else to come up and kiss our feet and say, oh, I'm so sorry I hurt you. 9 times out of 10, they don't even know they even hurt you. They really don't care if they hurt you. Because there's a spirit inside of them that's driving them that's constantly hurting people. We all offend people without realizing it and need them to forgive us. We all offend people without realizing it and need them to forgive us. Let us forgive others who unknowingly offend us in the same way we want to be forgiven. Let us forgive others who unknowingly offend us in the same way we want to be forgiven. Now, I had a person in my life years ago, and I would pray, God, forgive them. They know not what they do. And God's funny. He said, don't ever pray that prayer again over them because they know exactly what they're doing. They plot out each and every plan. Don't ever tell me to forgive them because they don't know what they're doing because they do. So I didn't pray that way for that person. Amen. But then I didn't ask God to kill them either, like I did Brother Larry one time. I just strike him dead. You know? Come on. And I know some of you in here, you'd like to say that too about some people. Amen. Wipe them off the face of the earth. But this is what this is all about. We can't pray that way no more. We have totally forgive them. And you know, I'm ministering to a little boy right now. And he's saying, I'm the type of person, I never forget when somebody does bad to me. And I will get even with them one day. Because I won't always be small. So what's he doing in his mind? He's building a kingdom. And so I'm constantly telling him that God vindicates, God takes care, you know. Right now I haven't convinced him of that yet, but I will convince him of that. Because I don't want him growing up like some adult sitting in the house of God today, still wanting vengeance for something somebody did them years ago. All right. All right, so then the next thing you do is you let the person offended you, you let them save face. Joseph could say to his brothers that it was not they who sent him to Egypt, but it was God. That's what Joseph said to his brothers, right? He was not even bitter toward God for the suffering he had faced in fulfilling God's plan for his life. He allowed his brothers to save face. They knew by this that Joseph really had forgiven them. To the brothers, it must have seemed too good to be true. Amen. You and I must do that toward the people who have hurt us. Let them save face by deepening their self-esteem, not even letting them know how deeply they have hurt us. See, we always want to let people know how deeply they hurt us. We really want to pound it in them what they really did to us. I know, been there, done that. But you know, we can't do that no more. We just can't. If we're a true child of God, and we're going to walk in the anointing and the holiness of God, we have to totally forgive and move on and forget, because you don't know how God used that person. That person might not even want to do what they did to you. They couldn't understand why they were doing what they were doing to you. But God was motivating them to do what they did to you so that he could move you higher up in his ranking. All right? So be like Joseph and say, it wasn't you that did all this. It was God. Who was it that threw them down in the hole? The brothers. Right? But he said, you didn't do this. And who sold them into slavery? The brothers. But Joseph said, it wasn't you that did any of this. It was God working through them. If the body of Christ would just grab a hold of this tonight, we would be a whole lot better off than what we are tonight. We wouldn't have all the demons running around inside of us and trying to figure out how they got there and where, whose generational came from and all that kind of junk. You know, we need to start taking some of the blame for what's inside of us ourselves. You and I must do that toward the people who have hurt us. You just totally forgive them. Let them save face by deepening their self-esteem, not even letting them know how deeply they have hurt us. When you totally forgive the other person, they will not even know the extent of the problem they created for you. When you totally forgive the other person, they will not even know the extent of the problem they created for you. I forgive you, but do you know what you made me go through? See, that's not total forgiveness. I forgive you, but do you know how deeply I'm hurt? Do you know how many years of my life were wasted? You know, no, we can't go there. We have to say, I totally forgive you, period, and let go of it. All right, then you will protect their darkest secret. You never tell. Let them know that their secret is absolutely and eternally safe with you. In other words, whatever they did to you, you're never going to tell anybody. Joseph would not even let them tell their father, Jacob, what they had done. And we've failed this all the way around, okay? And I'm one of them, too, that has failed. So let's not all get under condemnation. We're here to learn something tonight. We need to learn that there is such a thing as total forgiveness. And we have not yet reached that place in Christ. But I hope tonight we've taken that giant leap of faith and we're there. When we leave here tonight, I'm hoping that we have overcome this thing and total forgiveness is what we walk in from this point on. Amen. The man that stole your money. Total forgiveness, right? The person that got into my money and emptied out my bank account. Total forgiveness. I want to tell you something. You all gave me a Visa card for pastor's appreciation. And I kept forgetting to activate it so I could use it. So I was going shopping the other day, and I said to Larry, please activate this card. Well, he got on the computer. There's $4.50 on it. Somebody in California spent that $75 on that card. In California, they went to McDonald's. Starbucks. It had everything they did on that card. And the card wasn't even open. It was still sealed in the package until the time I told him. Then we ripped it open so we could give the card number. Larry talked to him, and they are eventually going to send me another card. But be careful if you're giving Visa cards out. They might not have it whenever. My daughter said, I better look at my wallet. I have a lot of Visa cards if people give me as presents. I better check and see if there's any money on them. The people were shocked, weren't they, at Walmart whenever you told them they did that? And they checked it out. It's true. Somebody did use it in California. So I totally forgive them because I needed that money that day. Amen. And they must need it. Starbucks must have needed it more than I did. All right. I said, you will protect their darkest secret. You never tell. Let them know that their secret is absolutely and eternally safe with you. Joseph would not even let them tell their father, Jacob, what they had done. He wrote the script for them, telling them exactly what to say to him, and he kept them from letting their father know. That is total forgiveness. You might say, well, look, he was blessed. He could afford to totally forgive. Come on. You know, we do that too, you know. But it doesn't matter if you're in a position Joseph was, if you're still poor and down and out, you still are supposed to protect them and never tell what they did. Amen. Forgiving them is a life sentence. You keep on doing it for the rest of your life. In Genesis 50, we read that when Father Jacob dies 17 years later, Joseph's brothers panic. They make up a story to force Joseph to live up to his old commitment to forgive. Dad told us to tell you to forgive us for what we did. And Joseph reassured them that he had forgiven them. They were all of a sudden afraid that Joseph was going to turn on them. See, this is where you know, they have to know that they are secure in you and that you will never, ever tell what happened. All right? That's total forgiveness. This is very important. Some feel emancipated when they forgive once. All right? But later they realize the impact of the injustice, and it hits them like a hurricane. Then they struggle all over again. You know, I forgave somebody for something they did, and so for years, you know, I've been in fellowship with them, and then all of a sudden they turn on me and start making me believe that I was the problem. So now I'm saying, what? But then I have to stop. I forgave them. So I have to stay in total forgiveness. I have to not pay attention to what they're saying, how they're trying to blame me, turn around, put the blame on me. I have to stand in total forgiveness and just smile. Just smile. And you can do that. You can go on and do that. Why? Because Christ is in you, right? And Jesus hung on that cross for you and I, right? And he had total forgiveness on that cross. We claim that we have Jesus in us. If you can't have total forgiveness, no, you don't. Because Christ is total forgiveness. All right, so then I said, some feel emancipated when they forgive once, but later they realize the impact of the injustice that the person did to them, and it hits them like a hurricane. Then they struggle all over again. Total forgiveness is a life sentence. You have to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. I was wanting to get that scripture that says you have to forgive, 70 times 7? You do it today, tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years from now, you just keep forgiving. But you don't understand. You keep forgiving. But you don't see what you're doing. You keep forgiving. I'm telling you, saints, we have to keep forgiving. Joseph's forgiveness was absolutely real. The proof ultimately being that it still held 17 years later. Come on. You pray for them in Matthew 5:43. This is what it tells us. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This is Jesus speaking. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You're striving for perfection, total forgiveness. Come on. I myself don't believe it is good enough to merely say, Lord, I commit them to you, because I've tried that. Instead, you have to pray for them. And then when you start praying for them, you'll understand that it's not all their fault. None of it might have been their fault. They were just a tool or a vessel that God worked through to do to you what he needed done to strengthen you, you know, to build your character, whatever he was trying to do in you. They were just a vessel that God was using to do the things in you that needed to be accomplished. You know, a lot of times we think we're all that and then some, don't we? Yeah, we think we've attained, right? We think we're just about the holiest thing walking on earth. And we think we're the biggest love sponge ever there was. And so God said, okay, let's just test you and see just how much your love really is working. And when he did that to me, I found out I had a lot of holes in my sponge, right? Come on. Yeah, you know, there's a whole lot of things that whenever you start thinking that you've gotten there, that God will start testing you. And you'll find out, no, you're not where you should be. Remember what he told me. Be careful lest when you preach to others, you yourself fall. I'm up here preaching love, 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 and then somebody just keeps coming at me, and I start getting ignorant. Then I'm teaching you one thing, and I'm doing something else. Come on. You're no different than me. You do the very same thing. Come on. See, the problem is you don't want to be honest with yourself and say, you know, I really did fail in that area at one point. I didn't say you were a total failure. I said you did fail every now and then, right? If you weren't failing in your love walk, if we weren't failing in our love walk, why does God have me keep preaching on love? It's because we yet have not gotten the picture of what love should be. Now we're teaching again. I thought this was excellent for right at Thanksgiving time. That God showed me about this forgiveness thing and why sickness comes upon our bodies. Katie Souza, bless her little heart, sent me a little letter. Instead of you're sick, you need to check your love walk and see if you have people in your life you haven't forgiven totally. And so this is where I put this together. Each of you had to put it together tonight too. You know, whoever teaches always gets it first, right? And then we pass it on down the line. So I've been through my little tests and my little trials and my little tribulations, and now I'm telling you, you can make it. You can forgive. I'm just going to tell you a story. I mean, I'm not really, you know, I have to tell you this to help you. Years and years and years ago, my first husband and I was overseas, and he was having an affair with a waitress. Well, the waitress was afraid her husband was going to find out. So one night we get a knock on our door, and here's her and her husband. And he attacks me viciously, saying I was ruining his wife's name, and I didn't even know who my husband was running with to begin with. And he just really attacked me viciously. Well, I'm just standing there flabbergasted. And then he said, you know what? He said to my husband, I'm going to go to what he called the commander, base commander, and I'm going to suggest to him that your wife be put in a mental place until she gets herself together. And I'm standing there looking at my husband saying to myself, help me. I didn't even know he was going with this girl. I knew he was running around, but not with this girl. And, you know, he just stood there, but I saw tears run down his eyes, down his cheek, that he would not defend me. That his wife said, oh, now, come on, honey. She's learned her lesson now. I can assure you she's not going to tell nobody else that we're spread the gossip. And so we'll just let her go. And he said, well, I better not hear anything else about this. Then he walked out the door. Now, see, my husband should have defended me. He should have been man enough to stand up and say, yeah, no, you and I are going out. And my wife has done, and I hadn't done absolutely nothing. But look how I was attacked. And I'm quite sure that attack on my life, because God brought it to my remembrance when I forgot about it. He brought it to my remembrance when I was putting this together. I didn't hold it against that man then, and I don't hold it against him now. But through that whole thing, I could have been put in a mental institution, because that's just what they did over there. You know, you didn't act right, then they did things to you. So, you know, guys, it does, you know, you're going to go through all kind of things in your lifetime. You're going to be totally innocent, like Joseph. Joseph was innocent. He should not have gone through anything he went through, but he went through it. And they wrote a story about it. They put it in the Bible. Why? To teach us to forgive. To teach us that it's not the vessel that's coming against you. It's God trying to get you to a new place in Him, to strengthen you, encourage you, keep your integrity right. All right? There's many, many pitfalls out there you're going to fall into. Please, when you're in that pit, don't do dumb things. Cry out to God to climb out of that pit and get up and go forth and be a vessel of honor that God can work through. It's possible. All right. Father, I forgive them just like you have forgiven me. I said we need to pray for them. How many times has God forgiven you for stupid stuff? So, Father, I forgive them just like you have forgiven me. You let me off the hook. Now I let them off the hook. When you do that, you're there. You're in total forgiveness. It just doesn't it amaze you when you stop and think how you're always saying, look what they did, look what they did. But you never stop thinking to say, look what I did to somebody in my life. We never do that. We're always looking at what somebody else has done to us. Why is forgiveness necessary? Forgiving is the heart of Jesus' message in His Word. And it will bring you the health and peace that the gospel promises. The freedom which you will never truly experience until you do it. You will never truly experience freedom until you learn to walk in total forgiveness. And I was reading Jay Bartlett's blog this evening before I came, and he said so many people have such a deep pain because they have never learned how to forgive. We need to forgive and forget. If you're going to forgive your enemy when you walk down the street, you don't cross the street so you don't face them. You don't do that. You just walk on down the street. When you get to them, say, hi, how are you? And you keep on walking. If you want to stop and talk, I don't care what you do. But you don't say, well, I forgive them totally and completely, and then walk on the other side of the street. That's not total forgiveness. You're still holding something. You can't even stand to be near the person. God's saying this is a whole new outlook on forgiveness as far as the body of Christ is concerned. Because the body of Christ has been taught, well, you can forgive and just keep on living, and you know, and God understands if you get still hurt over it. No, he doesn't understand that. Because what if Jesus was still complaining about how he had to go through what he went through before he finally went to the cross? And hanging on the cross after all the mess he went through, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But really and truly, you know, people who come against you really don't understand what they're doing. Because you are the apple of God's eye. And when they come against you, they're going to have to pay for that. So, you know, really, you should be smiling inside saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do. Because I just flat say that loud. I said, boy, you just don't know what you just did. Because I'm the apple of God's eye, and you're in trouble with God because of what you just did. I just tell them. Because it's the truth. I don't hold anything against them. But I tell them, you need to be careful what you do to me. Because I'm special to God. Are you not special to God? And doesn't God say we're the apple of his eye? When people come against you, they're coming against God. And you can say, you know, boy, you just got in trouble with God. It makes them mad that when I say that. Who do you think you are? I'm a child of God, and I'm the apple of his eye. That's who I am. I tell my family that all the time. Because that is who I am. I'm not ashamed of that, are you? Then, you know, let them know, hey, you just barked up the wrong tree. Because Jesus is at this tree, and he just saw what you did. And one day, you're going to have to pay for that. One day, you're going to have to pay for that stupid little mistake you just made. I am too, if I do it. We're all in the same boat here. So let's just quit it. And let's just walk in total forgiveness. And tonight, what I want you to do, well, this is what God told me to have you do. He wants you to sit here and think of those who you have not totally forgiven. He wants you to think about the little jab that keeps coming and jabbing you, a little spear that keeps coming and jabbing you, to make you remember what somebody's done to you. And then they're going to pass out communion. You boys can pass out communion now. They're going to pass out communion. And whenever you come to the place where you can say, God, I totally, completely forgive them. And I'm never going to pick it back up again. And when I see them, I might even throw my arms around the neck and hug them. You know, then take your communion. But until you can do that, don't take communion. Do not take communion tonight if you can't totally, completely forgive people for what they did to you. Because I'm going to tell you right now. It wasn't the person, anyhow, that did that to you. It was the enemy, or it could be God using them to strengthen you. Amen. Now, I'm going to let you go ahead, and I'm going to let you sit here and think about it and pray about it. And whenever you decide, I have totally forgiven them, then go ahead and take your communion. You're making a covenant with God saying, I'm never, ever, ever going to hold anything against them ever again. Amen. You know, remember, it's Christmas. Let's not go into another season with any ought in our heart against anybody. God wants to bless us this coming year. And he can't bless us if we haven't totally forgiven. And let me ask you this. Is whoever you're holding ought against worth losing out on whatever God wants to do with your life?